Praise the Lord. Christmas is here. And we have been focusing this Christmas season on the fact that the Christmas story is built around a number of visitations. One of the things that never ceases to give me great joy is the fact that our God is a God who visits his people. You know, I've never stopped or I've never forgotten the way I became a Christian. If I could be, I didn't do this last service, but I'm doing it now. You know, I really thought about what it means to accept the Lord. I thought about, what about other religions, and what about other philosophies? And I was kind of a thoughtful kid that way, and I've read about it and looked into it. And I love to say this, you know, there is a God who loves you and me. Everybody say me. There's a God who loves you and me so much that he wants to visit us. We're talking about the King of Glory. We're talking about the one who upholds the entire universe. And somehow, only God could have a mind able to be in charge of everything and be focused on you at the same time. Right? If there was a definition of God in his omniscience and omnipotence, his all power and his all knowing capacity, he really does. And by the way, if he couldn't, then he wouldn't be God. He wouldn't be God. And so what that means is that when you're thinking about God, when you're thinking about who to serve and what to follow, wouldn't it be the best thing to choose the one who doesn't say, let me see how good you are. Let me see if you could keep all the standards and the rules. Let me see if you could practice these 7 laws of philosophy and meditate your way there. No. He says, my people are longing for eternal things, but they only have earthly strength. So I'm going to bring the eternal kingdom to them. And you know what Jesus said at a certain point? He said, the kingdom of God is not just upon you. He said, but the kingdom of God can be in you. Our God visits. Anybody here ready for a visit from heaven? Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter where you've been and what you've done. We'll talk about that in a moment. It doesn't matter if you had an ugly year, if you've been behaving in ugly ways. He came to deal with all of our mess and to be with us. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. Could we celebrate the God that visits even before I read the text? Hallelujah! Wow. Come on, Jesus. There's no one like him. Now, this visitation is the third visitation that we're going to be covering. Next week, we're actually going to cover one more. And remember, the purpose of celebrating over and over again is to be revived by the truths of God. And one of the things I was saying earlier is the Bible says, unless you become like a little child, right? Have you noticed that little children can get excited about Christmas year after year? Can you get excited about Jesus year after year? I can. Come on, let's be like little kids today. And say, he still has something for me. He's got something for me. And it's good. Now, the title of today's message is The Shepherd's Visitation. So, this actually, you'll see in a moment, is the grandest visitation of all, because when he visited Joseph, he sent an angel. When he visited Mary, he sent an angel. But this, he brought the whole, he brought the whole posse of heaven, so to speak. And when you think about who he was talking to, the people who society would reject or ignore, the people who were not on the top of the scale, these were the people who were considered by society. God doesn't do that. Those are the people that he visited, and he did it in such a grand style. Let's look at this. And there were angels, this is Luke chapter 2, and there were angels, or I'm sorry, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. So this was the night shift. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Okay, this is part of the crux of this message. Do not be afraid. Why? I bring you, everybody say that's me. I bring you, but that's actually me, right? So let's read this together because you need to take this with you today. I bring you, here it is, ready? Good news that will cause great joy for all the people. What was this visitation about? It was about bringing this announcement. There were different announcements, but this was the announcement. And here it was. He was bringing, say it with me, ready? Good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Something can cause great joy in you and I. He came to bring great joy. This was a visitation of joy. Watch this. It says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel. Just wasn't one angel. It was a great company of angels, and praising God and saying glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. Peace, hallelujah, to those on whom his favor rests. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And I'll leave this here right now. So I want you to be aware of this. If you were like, if this was a movie, chances are the camera would zoom down on the hotel that they were supposed to be in, but then it would move over to the equivalent of a modern day parking lot. Like, where do you put the animals that you travel on? In the manger, and that's where Jesus was born. Jesus wasn't born at the Four Seasons. Jesus wasn't born in a palace. Jesus was born in a manger. So that anytime you and I might feel low, he says, "I'm right there with you." How many are thankful that he's close to the lowly? He's close to the brokenhearted. And the reason that he came was to actually cause joy. That's why he came. He came to bring about great joy. And even though no one knew, the press wasn't there, there weren't like a bunch of people taking this down, even though no one knew, God came and he was there and he visited them, and the shepherds got to experience all of this. They hurried off, and there they found him. And then a little bit more. It says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had, here it is, heard and seen, okay, which were just as they had been told. So they had, the shepherds get this visitation, and it was not just an angel, it was like this great heavenly host, which is a reminder to us, right? As if you're trying to take in this passage of scripture, remember, brothers and sisters, that just beyond the veil of your understanding, there are angels all around you. Anybody here believe that? Anybody here? There are angels. The kingdom of God is among us and around us. Uh-oh. See, that's why you came to church today. Because God wants to revive your spirit. God wants to build your faith today, so that you realize that this life is backed by so much more than just what you feel today or what you see. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand, because Christ has come. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas. Christ has come. Somebody celebrate. Christ has come. Hallelujah. He's not only come, but he's here with us, and he wants to visit us and minister to us in such powerful and wonderful ways. Now, what's cool about this story, moving through this very quickly, what's cool about this story is that he visits shepherds 2,000 years ago, and God wants to remind us, the same God who visited those people who no one was thinking about or caring about is the same God who visits us. In other words, the God who visited those guys, he wants to go into the alley and meet somebody in an alley in Chicago. There's someone roaming around in an alley right now. And can I tell you something? How many believe the heart of God is with him and ready to meet her and strengthen her? The God who visited those shepherds, brothers and sisters, is the God who wants to visit the security guard. You ever, the other day I saw the security guard was on post. You ever see a security guard kind of like in an alley or not in an alley, in a hallway, or they're just standing by something and they're like this, and people are not even paying attention to them, but they're there on post, overlooked, but not by Jesus. How many know Jesus doesn't overlook anyone? I think about nurses in the hospital, and those. Think about the moment when a nurse, you know, changes a soiled bed, the bedpans, and it's like that's what they have to do, right? And nobody wants to do that, but that's what they have to do. How many believe God wants to visit a nurse in that room? Doesn't matter what the flavor of your sense of isolation. Why did he come? He came so that you wouldn't be isolated. He came to be the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He came to provide a nearness, a comfort, a strength, a blessing that no one else could. Right? He comes to visit us, and here's the thing, when God visits us, it brings us joy. He loves to bring joy to the world. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. So this visitation, it was not just like, hey, this is just an announcement. No. This was a visitation of joy. And here's the moral of the story, so to speak. The main truth of this story today is as follows. And here's what I'm praying before I put this up. Don't put it up yet. Before I put this up, here's what I'm praying. I'm praying that not just this week, but next week and the week after that, like write this down someplace and remember, because the Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we can remember his visitation, but he wants us to remember as the year unfolds. not just today. And here's what he wants us to know. This is very, very important. And you ready? Here it is. It's because of salvation. What were they announcing? They were announcing the good news is that Christ has come to save the world. Because of salvation, there is enough available between you and God for you to walk in joy. Yeah, that's something to clap about. Here's what this means. Because of what Jesus did, we learned a couple weeks ago, he came to save the world from sin. Because of his life, because of his sacrifice, because of salvation, the good news, the announcement is Christ has come to save the world. Christ has come to deal with our sin. He's come to deal with sin and death and all of its works. So because of salvation, listen, there is enough available between you and God, between you and Jesus, for you to walk in joy. Here's what it means. It means that because of salvation, when you don't get the promotion, because of salvation, when you're not feeling good, when you get bad medical news, because of salvation, when you're battling with something, here is the ultimate blessing and declaration. Because of salvation, there is enough available. Everybody say available. Just between you and Jesus, so that you can walk in joy. In other words, when disaster strikes, when hardships hit, right? Maybe you're having a rough season. Maybe you're fighting with your spouse. Maybe you're estranged from your family. All of those things are true, and all of those things require the attention of God. But let's set that aside for a second. What is this saying? This is saying that because of Christ's coming, because of him rising from the dead in power, just between you and him, there is enough available for today you to have some kind of encounter with God that's something that surpasses human understanding, something that surpasses natural processes. You could have every reason to be down, but because of salvation, there is enough available between you and God for you to walk in joy. How many want to walk in joy today? Hallelujah. Joy is available to you. Are there reasons for depression? Yes. Are there reasons for discouragement? Yes. Are there reasons for fear? Yes. Are there reasons for hurt? Yes. But despite all of those reasons, brothers and sisters, because of salvation, because of salvation, because Christ has come, there's enough available just between you and God. See, one of the most amazing realizations, and this is how people start to grow and cross over in the things of God, is when they realize that they don't need a lot of external things to actually be good in their own heart. You see, some people think, well, when I get this, I'll be good. When I get that, I'll be good. If I get the girlfriend, I'll be good. If I get the guy, I'll be good. Well, just ask married people about that. Marriage is great, but there are moments that you disagree because there's no person on the planet that can satisfy your soul. There's no person on the planet that can give you the peace that you need. But because of salvation, there's enough available between you and God. It can happen in the car. It can happen in the kitchen. It can happen at work. Because of salvation, there's enough available between you and God for you to walk in joy. You know, he is the one who gives us joy. down deep in our soul. Anybody ever been baptized with joy? You ever had a moment where joy came down? It doesn't come from any place else. Hallelujah. Joy is available to his people. And part of what you want to say is, and this the rest of this message is going to hopefully get us there, but part of what you want to say is, Lord, bring me into your states. I don't want to live in my states. Okay? So how do you get there? How do we get to joy? Well, there's two things we need, and this is what happened for the shepherds. Because remember this, the shepherds, they received they got the visitation, they went, they saw, they left. They didn't get promotions, they didn't leave with bags of gold, but they did leave with joy. You see? And so, is God in the blessing business? Yes, but would you agree that the greatest blessing there is the blessing of joy in your heart? And when you think about your children and your grandchildren, when you think about people that you really love, wouldn't you ask first for joy in the human heart before anything else? It's always joy. Because what good is to have the whole world and to have no joy? And we know there are millions of people that have so much, and actually they have so little because they have no, everyone, joy. So what is it? What is it that we need, right? So first of all, what we need is we need the perspective of joy. Okay? We need the perspective of joy. Joy begins and joy is activated by a perspective. And perspective speaks to seeing and hearing. Okay? Perspective speaks to having a certain kind of understanding. What I'm talking about today is different from a positive outlook. There's a big difference between a positive outlook and a joyful outlook. Why? Because a positive outlook is just some human being. I'm not saying it's negative to be positive. It's good to be positive. But the truth of the matter is just saying I'm positive. Well, positive is earthly hoping for outcomes. Okay? So positive is like, I hope this goes well. I'm just going to believe the best or think the best and on and on. Yes, that's true, but that's all based on earth. But a joyful perspective is an outlook that is based on what heaven says and what heaven promises and what heaven speaks. And let me tell you something, when God speaks, no word from God will ever fail. So a joyful perspective comes when you get a vision of God and when you hear a promise from God, all of a sudden you are filled with joy because it doesn't matter what you see, you know that you know that if he said it, he's going to do it because none of his words fail. And all of a sudden, you're thinking different. There's earthly perspectives, and then there's heavenly perspective. Positive is earthly, but joy is kingdom. Joy comes from the kingdom of God. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Hallelujah. There is only one source of joy, and it's Jesus. And it begins when we begin to see the kingdom of God. It begins, when you start to get a joyful outlook, it actually changes the way you process. So let me give you a quick example. So a joyful outlook sounds more like this. Even if they say no, we say God is still good. Even if the door closes, we say God is still going to lead me. Okay, even if I don't understand, you say, I don't understand, but I know God is upholding me. He promised I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Anybody ever wake up one day after thinking God had forsaken you and they say, no, God was actually holding me up because I'll never leave you nor forsake you, the Bible says. He's faithful even when we don't understand. He keeps us going because positivity is about outcomes, but joy is about the kingdom. The kingdom is real. The heavens are real. The angels are real. And salvation has opened up the way for us to receive all of those things. So let me give you real quickly something I've been meditating on for the last month or so because of salvation. So Romans chapter 8 is the kind of therefore chapter of the Bible. It's the therefore chapter, okay? I'm not going to read it to you, but I want you to go home, and this will be, if you want to start your first 4 months of meditation, I'm going to give you some great things to meditate on, okay? Why do I say 4 months, by the way? It's because just because you do something for 2 days doesn't mean you got it, okay? I'm talking about walking in it. If you want to walk in joy, right? So Romans chapter 8 has four gigantic perspectives that you and I can keep clinging to and looking to so that we can always have a perspective of joy. Let me put this up for you very quickly. So the first thing that the Bible says, it says, there's therefore now no condemnation, okay? Because of salvation, there's no condemnation, right? Because of salvation, there's no condemnation. We are not condemned. What does that mean? That means that even if you walked into this place and you did something that you are ashamed of yesterday, the Bible says that because Jesus paid the price, he is rich in mercy. Hallelujah. When you go to God, he's not going to criticize you. He's not going to put you down. He's going to wash you in his blood. Hallelujah. He's going to cleanse you. He's going to give you a fresh start. Anybody here thankful? His mercies are new every morning. Every morning, his fullness and forgiveness is free. Hallelujah. His mercies are new. We are not condemned. God doesn't criticize you. If you think thoughts in your head like God is putting you down and you're no good and you know this, that's the devil. He's a slanderer. He's an accuser. He's a condemner. But as a child of God, anybody here thankful? There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You can go home today, and when you're putting yourself or getting tempted to put yourself down, you could say, I'm not receiving that perspective. I may have things to work on, but I have someone who is working in me. Hallelujah. And he will guide me and he will walk me through. There's no condemnation. I don't receive condemnation. I will receive correction, but I won't receive condemnation. You see, that keeps a joyful perspective. But watch this. Then Romans goes on to say, now all things work together for our good. Right? Here's how this works. Let's say you're like, you get this buildup, right? And, oh, I'm going to get this, or I'm going to attain this, or I'm going to accomplish this. And all of a sudden, it doesn't happen. And you're like, you know, come on, Lord. You know, come on, life. See, a joyful perspective says, you know what? God is up to something. So let me a quick story. When I was preparing this message, it came to me. So when my son Tommy was probably 5 or 6 years old, and Tommy used to always read his Bible. And so I said this wrong. I said in the first service, I have a problem with being late. And people are like, oh man, poor pastor, he can't get to places on time. No, that's not what I meant. I meant I really don't like being late. And when I find myself late, it just drives me insane. So I get to places super early. I'm just roaming around, you know. I like roaming around. So it's like I want to show up on time. But anyway, so I was driving with Tommy one day, and he could hear my stress and feel my stress and all this. And I was like, gracious, the traffic. I don't know what it was. I can't remember exactly. I just remember this. So I'm pretty sure that I turned the radio on. I was talking about it, it was coming to me, that I was trying to figure out why am I stuck right now? And so it turns out on the radio came whatever that station is, and it said that there was an accident. And so Tommy says, hey, Dad, right? Trying to minister to his pastor dad. That ever happened to you, bro? Like, yes, indeed. So he goes, hey, Dad, maybe the reason that we were late is because God was trying to protect us from that terrible accident. It's like you. Now, how many know a delay is not a denial? Hallelujah. He works all things together for our good. Could somebody say amen? Hallelujah. God is up to something. Even when it doesn't go right, God is up to something. He always leads us in triumph. You know, give it a chance. You know, the arc of the blessing of God is not like this. Sometimes it's a lot longer. You know what I mean? But there are perspectives. Look, then it goes on to say this. It goes on to say, the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. We can live with a mindset of life and peace. It is possible to have a peaceful mind. Even if you don't have one, I'm telling you right now, it is available. There is enough available between you and God for you to walk in peace in 2026. Why? Because Jesus conquered sin and death so that we could walk in peace. Jesus is the friend that sticks closer than a brother so that we could walk in peace. The world didn't make up mindsets. It wasn't a psychologist who said mindset. It was the word of God, and we can have a mindset of life and peace. And so today you can reject when you get tempted to fear or you get tempted to worry. You could say, listen, I'm going to worship today and I'll leave worry for tomorrow. And every day I give worry to tomorrow, but I'm going to worship God. I want a mindset of life and peace. It's a perspective that flows from salvation. Then lastly, nothing separates us from the love of God. If they could send me a keyboard player. Right? Think about, I said this on Tuesday, and I want to say this to you. You're going to hear me say this more, right? I'm learning more and more and more about this. I've tried to do it, but I'm learning more and more about this. And no matter how long you've been serving the Lord, you should be learning more and more. And I'm telling you, I don't think that we think enough about important truths that God gives us. So the Bible says, and on his law, he meditates day and night. Right? So let's take this one. Can we put that? So nothing separates us from the love of God. What would happen to your heart, your spirit, your mind when you get attacked with stress or loss or disappointment and difficulty if you would just like tea, right? You put a tea bag in the hot water. If you would just be like a tea bag in the promise, nothing separates me from the love of God. Come on, how many know if we would just steep in that, right? Nothing. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't like it. But I know one thing. Nothing separates me from the love of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That'll change your life. It'll change your days. See, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, this past Tuesday, I was making a similar type point, and I literally felt the Spirit of God say, stop talking. Let them sit in that. The whole message was that heaven is open over us. Right? Like, God is there for you. Heaven is open over you. You're like, well, you don't understand. If you look, this doesn't look like a heaven year. Stop. Steep. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings as eagles. You could be stuck and you could start to soar. But you have to wait. Right? God wants to give you a heavenly perspective. Stop. Look, we're putting this whole series. We talked about blame in the first series. Stop saying, it's because of this. It's because of this. Stop. Say, God, I need a perspective of joy today. You know, it might be an issue of forgiveness. Right? Look, When you refuse to forgive, you forfeit joy. If you refuse to forgive, you forfeit joy. But if you forgive, the Bible says forgiveness shall be forgiven, right? And you shall be forgiven. I'm telling you right now, when you forgive, no matter how bad it is, the door is open for you to have joy. Let me give you a quick story. This is real time. This was a few Sundays ago. One of the brothers in our church, he works in perhaps the parking ministry. And the way the story goes is because of he comes in after service, you know, once people are settled in and all that, a lot he never sits in the front row, okay? But somehow one of the ushers brought him to the front row. And by the way, before I say this, just in case you happen to be one of those people who feel like, oh, God is not like dialed into my life, you know, watch this. So he gets brought in, he sits. Maybe it was one of these seats right here, one of those seats right there, I don't know. He gets sits. And when he sits, he looks over, and there's a guy that he was in the seventh grade with. He went to middle school with this guy. He hadn't seen him in so many years, right? This wasn't a teenager, this is a grown man. It had been a little bit. So he looks over, he goes, hey, man. What's up? And they start talking for a second. He goes, what are you doing here? The guy had never been to church, right? But the guy said, well, actually, my son is getting baptized today. See, watch how the kingdom of God operates. He goes, my son is getting baptized today, and which means that his son accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. The kingdom of God started to visit his family. He didn't fully even understand. He was like, I don't even go to church and I don't understand church, but I want to support my son and be a good dad. So he's getting baptized. I guess it's a big deal. I'm going. So he goes, my son is getting baptized. So I'm here and he's like, oh, that's so nice. He takes in the service. So what was the message about? The message was about forgiveness. And so here's what happens. Right at the end of the message, the guy in the parking ministry turns to him and he goes, bro, I'm pretty sure you won't forget, yeah, remember this. But when you were seven, when we were in the seventh grade, he said, in fact, over the years, every time I think about that, it bothers me. He goes, I punched you. I hit you. He goes, I know you don't remember this. He said, I remember. But he had a moment, they had a moment, and they said, he said, please forgive me. I'm sorry, I forgive you, right? And that guy has been coming to church ever since. Could we praise God? Hallelujah! God is working in so many different ways over your life and my life. He's doing so much more than we realize, so much more than we understand. God knows what seat on the bus you're sitting in and that he wants to lead you to. And he wants to use your life. And it begins with the perspective of joy. Joy makes you heavenly minded, not earthly minded. Joy makes you kingdom minded. And when you're kingdom minded, you walk in joy. Because of what Christ has done, right, I can walk in joy. Joy is available. There's enough available between you and God for you to walk in joy. I'm almost done. But we go from the perspective of joy. There's a moment of transition. So we go from the perspective of joy to the moment where what we actually need is not just the perspective. We need, I'm going to call it a joy exchange. Somebody say joy exchange. You take this, I'll take that. That's what an exchange is, right? You take this, and I'll take that. An exchange. Jesus came so that we could have a joy exchange. We give God the difficulty of what's happening on the planet, right? We give him our challenges, we give him our fears and our worries, and he gives us joy. So a joy exchange is the moment you release your burden and you receive God's joy. You release your struggle. A joy exchange means that because you've come to a different conclusion. Why is someone afraid? They're afraid because of a current conclusion. But when you get the divine perspective, all of a sudden, you're like, look, even though this is bad or this is difficult, I choose God's perspective of this moment. And since I've got God's perspective, he's with me, he's for me, regardless of what's happening right now, he's going to protect me, he's going to bless me, hallelujah. I might suffer for a little while, but I will triumph through Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen to that. So I give that fear to God and I receive the joy of the Lord. I give depression to God. When I cycle over those negative things, I say no more of that earthly negativity. I take in the promise of God. I give God my negativity, and then there's something that's given back. You see, what's so wonderful about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit constantly wants to give us something. What he wants to give us is joy. There's a moment where there's a transaction. And it's happened so many times for so many of us. But I want to begin to really anticipate it more than ever before. Here's the last one. I'll close on this. So, this is real time because God is real. Even though we have 20-year-old stories, okay, this story is a week-old story. So I ran into a guy, this is not his name, but let's say his name is Mac. I kind of like that name, Mac, right? Tough, strong name. So let's call him Mac. So there's a place that I frequent and he works there and we talk from time to time, but I never have been able to talk to him at the level that I got to the last time I saw him over the course of this past week. And so I was like, yo, Mac, you look good, man. How you doing? And he calls me pastor and actually hugs me on the job when I see him because he knows I'm a pastor and all that stuff. So I was like, man, you look so good and all of this kind of stuff. And so he says, I was actually with Chrissy and he said to us, you know, I've been going to church for a while, but I really wasn't serving the Lord. And this past year, I believe it was this past year, he goes, man, it was so bad, it was so difficult because my wife told me that she wants to divorce me, and she did. And I was so disappointed and so brokenhearted. But then I went to church. I was going to church with my kids, and I heard that song, I trust in God. My Savior, the one who will never... Yeah, you should help me because, you know, hell, he will never fail. And then the whatever you call it. I sought the Lord. What is that called? The tag? And he answered, I sought the Lord. And he heard, and he answered, I sought the Lord. And he heard. And he answered, that's why I trust him. That's why. So he goes into church, he hears this song. And in that moment, that was the moment, he said, I've been down. I've been discouraged. I feel defeated. You know, he said, but I'm going to trust God right now. Hallelujah, I'm going to trust God. And so then it made sense. I was like, dude, you look so good, man. I said, you lost 60 pounds. You're bright. You're smiling. He goes, and he said, no. He said, it was that moment. he said, something, the Lord has done something for me. And I'm reading the Bible and I'm walking the Lord and I'm with the Lord and I'm hearing sermons and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. I'm telling you right now, no matter what the disappointment or what the defeat, there is an exchange waiting. God wants to bring an exchange. Hallelujah. Where you walk in the joy of the Lord as your strength. The exchange is possible. See, if the exchange was with anyone else, chances are it would not be possible because people can't do it. But because of salvation, there is enough available. He has enough power, enough wisdom, enough love, enough strength, enough forgiveness, enough kindness, enough whatever it is we need to bring about the exchange for you and I to walk in joy. 2026 can be a year of joy. Hallelujah. You can have Christmas as a season of joy. Hallelujah. Don't forfeit joy. Hallelujah.